Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Folks, just want to remind you about our free app. It's for your phone. If you have an Android or an iPhone, you can download it at our website, www.theunionedge.com. With that app, you can listen to this radio program live anywhere in the world. You can listen to the podcast. You can listen to the streaming. We appreciate you doing that. Please leave some kind comments when you download. We appreciate that very much. It helps other people find it. And let us know what you think. You can do it right there on the app. This program is sponsored in part by the Pennsylvania and Kentucky AFL-CIOs, and we appreciate their support very much. Joining me today, we've got Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Great to be with you on this Friday. Some good news for workers, but also some not-so-good news for workers today. So first up, the NAFTA negotiations. Okay, according to Celeste Drake, who's the AFL-CIO's policy trade expert and globalization specialist, she's at the table. You know, she's saying things aren't going so well so far. For working people. And one of the points that she makes in this NAFTA renegotiation is that the reason is the core mission of the trade agreements are not to uplift workers and not to raise wages.
No, it's to enrich. It's to enrich corporations.
Yeah, and she says because of that, and also the fact that labor is outgunned at the table, they're far outnumbered by corporate interest, et cetera. Plus, it's not a transparent process, right? So even if there's a labor representative at the table, that person can't share with the rest of the public some of the information that's going back and forth across the table in these negotiations. And she said so far, the U.S. hasn't made proposals on labor or tax dodging by corporations. And she said that the real focus is on rights for global corporations. And so the highest and best interests for worker safety are not being addressed directly.
There'd be the crux of the critter. The idea here is we're negotiating this so we can maximize our profits. And, oh, my God, if, you know, we have to buy safety equipment for our employees in your state or in your country, well, you know, that's costing us money, so we're going to take it off the U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah, and it's something that working people need to understand, okay? As long as our interests, our wages, our retirement security, our health care benefits, our safety at work, as long as those interests are secondary to the mission and treated as some sort of a byproduct of it, you know, maybe in the pursuit of these corporate profits, maybe, possibly we'll get a few crumbs off the table. That's not good enough for working people in America or anywhere else around the world. And so that has to change. That central thing, that central goal that they have has to change. And she said that's what Celeste Drake said. That's what the AFL-CIO is trying to do at the table. Change the rules so it says they're not about corporations, but they're about raising the standards of living of the people in these countries that have these trade agreements with one another. And that's the central role. So she's going to keep on firing away. She said that there's still time, actually, to bring this up to a better level for working people, and we'll just have to wait and see as to what happens here with U.S. negotiators, whether they are going to improve or whether they just keep recycling failed trade ideas, she says, that will add up to another pro-corporate anti-worker deal. So that's the update on that.
Right. You know, and Doug, this – forget flags, forget countries, forget nationalities, forget national pride. The companies that are negotiating this have one interest and one interest alone. More profits for the company. They don't care about American workers. They don't care about Mexican workers or Canadian workers. They don't care. They are looking for ways to make more money and ways to protect their ability to make more money. Any questions?
No, and then once they make the money, and let's remember, our labor is what creates the surplus pool of capital that businesses are working with. That's what makes profit. I mean, if you show up every day and do your work and be productive, that's what makes their profit. So not only are they just focused on the profit and don't care about workers, but once they get more profit, which is made by the workers, then they make decisions that are also not in the interests of working people after that. So that's it's a real battle, and it's something that everybody needs to be conscious of and really be clear about as you make your political decisions about who you're going to support, and it's about, you know, you make your decisions about what you're going to be involved in actively with unions or anything else. It's that goal that has to be foremost in our minds if we're ever going to improve our situation, our standards of living, our retirement security, all of that stuff. And for not only you, but for your kids and for their kids, we're going to have to focus on what really uplifts families, working people, and that should be our central goal of our economy.
Oh, absolutely, Doug.
And in Chicago, segueing to this for a moment, a victory for workers in Chicago, and it happened because of the efforts of SEIU Local 1, the workers themselves individually and collectively, and also the city council in Chicago. They voted Wednesday on an ordinance that's going to give a raise to 8,000 O'Hare and Midway Airport workers, a raise to $13.45 an hour on the way to 15, hopefully, and also the right to join a union, which is critical, because not only did the Chicago City Council say to these airlines operating out of those airports in Chicago that you have to raise your wages for your airport workers starting next July, but they said you also have to agree to a labor peace agreement in order to keep your licenses to operate at these airports. So in other words, when this kicks in and when the workers start to organize a union, these companies have got to not interfere with that and let the workers do their thing and make their decision on their own without the fear and intimidation that usually accompanies organizing drives. So it's a big win for workers, and it was a two-year battle. And SEIU Local 1 is primarily responsible for all of that, helping these workers in getting this victory. And by the way, the vote at the Chicago City Council, unanimous in favor of the workers.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, the only problem with Illinois is the governor. you know. This is a guy that spent $20 million to buy a job that pays $200,000 a year.
And he vetoed a minimum wage that was passed by the legislature in Chicago, in Illinois. And I'm telling you, this is an example, though, of what can happen when your government representatives at whatever level are really pro-worker on an issue. This is what happens. You get raises, you get improvements, and that's what occurs. Now in Seattle, meanwhile, $15 minimum wage there, of course, that they passed, one of the first cities to do that. They've had multi-million dollar settlements from workers who are not being paid what they're supposed to be paid, and they're going to court and suing. And the latest is a $2 million settlement just announced by the State Department of Labor and Industries. $15 an hour minimum wage, workers at the airport, in this case car rental workers, were not being paid what they're supposed to be paid under that law in Seattle. And so they went to court, and they won $2 million. And last year, Charles, there was another multi-million dollar settlement, this one $12 million. Even with the law, the company's not doing what they're supposed to do, and the workers having to go to court to get it done.
It's amazing how often we, first off, run into wage theft, and that's what this is. And second of all, we run into employers that say, oh, well, the law's on my side, so I like the law. But and they tell us how important it is that we follow the law. But when it's not going their way, and when it's something they don't like, they can't tell me how much to pay you.
Yeah, they just flout the law and break the law. And in 2015, the state Supreme Court out there upheld the law. In this case, it was the SeaTac community near the airports, and they said that it also applied to businesses at the airport and the Port of Seattle. So even when workers win their wages, they get them stolen and end up having to go to court. Right. But the law out there allowed them to go to court to do this. And so it is a victory nonetheless, but it's a continual struggle for working people to get what they earn in this country.
There you go. Doug, we appreciate you being with us today. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
There we go. That was Doug Cunningham with Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborist Talk Radio.